I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For it had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, the word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate it. The scripture that Johnny read for us is, you know, it talks about baptism. Do you remember your baptism? How many of you remember your baptism? All right. That's good. How did that work for you? Were you coerced by your parents or other family members, or perhaps dared by your friends to be baptized? Or did you simply decide it was what you wanted to do? No pressure from family or peers. How did that transpire for you to be baptized? So many of us make the leap to be baptized not knowing what baptism is. That is, what it means. Some of us may think that it means we are in the Christian club, to be counted among the in the know. Some of us may think once we're baptized, we're done. We go from death to burial, raised to new life. That's symbolic. That's what baptism is about. It's an initiation. It's your death to your old ways. You're buried, go underwater, and you come up a new person. Question is, do you come up a new person? Did you? Or is it something that transpired through your lives? Now, if we're not part of the Christian club, and we're not among the in the know, then what are we? Because from that day forward, all we have to do is go on about our lives, isn't it? And never look back, never participate, partake in anything Christian again? Seriously, what else could there be? You get baptized. Okay, I'm done. Imagine that we are putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle. In turn, we each put pieces into place. Slowly, the beauty of the picture begins to take shape. As we continue putting the puzzle together, we talk about what it would be like to be a part of the scene before us. As the final pieces are being put into place, we are suddenly confronted with the fact that our picture is incomplete. 4 pieces are missing. How do you feel about all our work together, knowing that it will forever remain incomplete? Now imagine that instead of missing pieces, the puzzle is alive. As the final pieces are being put into place, they change shape and refuse to be joined together with the adjoining pieces. Or worse yet, we watch as parts of the puzzle we have put together suddenly separate and pieces leave the table. How do you feel knowing that the beauty of the image being put together will never be finished? Because the pieces won't cooperate with each other. I wonder if that is sometimes how God feels about His church. He fits people together only to find that some are missing, or individuals which He has purposed to join together refuse to be connected or deliberately separate from each other. Now that's a problem. Why? Because something important was started with baptism, but not completed. Completeness is important to God's work. We got to be complete. And if we get baptized and then we never come back to church, or we come to church but we don't become part of the church, we don't have a ministry, we don't join together in fellowship, we're incomplete. Listen to these words. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For it had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had only been baptized. First step. They had to send someone to complete it. It's not enough that we get baptized. It's being a part of a community of faith. And that is having the Holy Spirit to come in and take over our lives and say, we need to pull together. We need to be a team like the disciples. In other words, the work was not completed. Completeness is what God is about. God wants His work to be completed. When He calls us to baptism, that is only the beginning. Baptism is not a done deal in any sense. It is an initiation into the rites of the Christian life, into the way, but it's not the end. How many of you were in a service fraternity or sorority in college? Were you initiated, then told to go your way? See you at graduation? No. Once initiated, you were then expected to perform certain duties, to partake in the work of the organization, to be a part of that sorority or fraternity. It's a service. It's a service. And you can't serve if you go in, get initiated, and say, see you later. See you when I graduate. If you were or are a member of the Masonic Order or Eastern Star, I can assure you, you were initiated into the organization and then expected to take part in the service of the organization. When we are baptized, we are starting a process. The requirements of being a Christian doesn't end with baptism, it begins. Listen to the wording of our text, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized. But wait, there's more. What came before baptism? Do you remember our text, how it started? What was critical before being baptized? Listen to this. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. Yet another piece of the puzzle. Before they were baptized, Samaria had received the word of God. And oftentimes, if we are coerced into being baptized, if it's peer pressure, some of our friends get baptized and they say, wow, you know, let's see if you can do it. Or have we received the word of God? We just went through the motions. That's why the question is asked, were you coerced? Were you pressured by peers? If so, perhaps you never had the opportunity to receive the word of God before committing your life to the process of being a Christian. Perhaps you were baptized, then received the word of God. That's okay, that happens, especially for those who baptize as babies. If so, maybe your baptism is not one of your most memorable moments, because it really had no meaning to you at that point. If so, just know that although it reversed the process of your baptism, it's just as real and effective, as long as you understand that the Word of God comes to you. Why? Because God accepts innocence. He understands human nature. He knows our hearts. After all, He created us. Why wouldn't He understand? Heart, another interesting word. Heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. It is the part of our being where we desire, deliberate, and decide. It has been described as the place of conscious and decisive spiritual activity. The comprehensive term for a person as a whole, his feelings, desires, passions, thought, understanding, and will, and the center of a person. The place to which God turns. That's how heart is used in Scripture. Do you have a heart for Christ? After your baptism, was your heart set on serving God? So God turns to you and says, you have received my word. You have been baptized. Now Now you are on your way to being my son's disciple. On the way. Key words here are, you are on your way to being. Nothing is complete at this point. We haven't finished anything. We are simply on our way. So what have you done since receiving God's word and being baptized? We may be tempted to say, well, I've attended church faithfully. I rarely miss. Or perhaps we will say, I've taught Sunday school, served as an elder or deacon, or chaired a committee. And if we say that, we have said some good things. However, as good as that is, it's like this. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep at His right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee? And the King will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You did. It's an action. Notice Jesus doesn't say, well, you were baptized. I bet you served on a committee. I bet you served in the synagogue or in the temple. It's not it. There's more to it. There's more to do in that process. And let us not forget these words from James, the brother of Jesus. James 4, 1 through 12. What causes wars? What causes fightings among you? Is it not your passions that are at war in your members? You desire and you do not have, so you kill. And you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Unfaithful creatures, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is in vain that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Do not speak evil against one another, brethren. He that speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you that you judge your neighbor? There's more to it. Once we're baptized, then we have to put into practice that which Christ taught us, which is not to speak ill of other people, not to gossip, not to fight for power. There is so much more. And often we get baptized and we join a church and we think, well, I go to church. Then we go out and we talk behind someone's back and we talk about conspiracies and everything else. What happened? We have started a new year. We come into this sanctuary seeking what? Regardless of our roles in this church, regardless of what we think we are in terms of our faith journey, we must realize we are not anywhere near completion on our journey, nor will we ever be. if we are not living the gospel, not hearing it, not reading it, if we're not living it. Living the commission of our Lord gave us to serve others and each other, to be kind to others and each other, and humble ourselves before God. That's our commission. Receiving the word and being baptized is just the beginning. For the sake of the gospel, we must understand our faith journey is to seek baptism and beyond. Do you love the Lord? Sometimes we get a distorted idea about what love is. One night, a man decided to show his wife how much he loved her. After dinner, he began to recite romantic poetry, telling her he would climb high mountains to be near her, swim wide oceans, cross deserts in the burning heat of day, and even sit at her window and sing love songs to her in the moonlight. After listening to him go on for some time about this immense love he had, she ended the conversation when she asked, "But will you do the dishes for me?" Brings it down to reality, doesn't it? Are you willing to serve and be a part of me? In relationship with me? That's what Christ is asking. Get baptized, but then get the Holy Spirit and work. Then do what I've taught you to do. God says, "You've received my word. You received my baptism. Now, will you serve me? Will you wash my dishes? Will you take care of the sick? Will you visit?" One quick note, I had this conversation just last week, and I've had it throughout what will soon be 36 years in ministry. But someone said, "Yeah, but you're supposed to do that. You're a minister." You hear that? I said, "You're a Christian." What's the difference? You're a Christian. This is what you're supposed to follow. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. None of us are relieved from the responsibility of ministry. None of us. I may specialize, but that doesn't mean that you don't have a part to play. So the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to ministry. We can be baptized. We can hear the word. But the important part is to do the word. Will you? That's the question. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for every day that we have an opportunity to serve you and to do your work. May we never forget that you have called us to ministry, that you have called us to minister to one another, that you have called us to love one another as you loved us. Be with us, guide us, and help us to be the best that we can be in following you and doing your will. For we ask this in your holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's word is brought to you.